It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Could the awarding of a $30 million implementation grant allow Larimer to be the East End's next success story? The money comes through the Choice Neighborhoods Program of the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Four cities won grants out of 43 that applied. I'm joined now in Studio A by Malik Bankston, Executive Director of the Kingsley Association, and he joins us to address how this grant will be used to revitalize the community. Malik Bankston, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for inviting us.
It's our pleasure. And so this will this $30 million allow Larimer to be the East End's next success story?
Well, we certainly hope so. We certainly expect that that the awarding of this grant is going to serve to kickstart a lot of the work that we've been engaged in over the past 7 years, in particular, as we reimagine the Larimer community and think about what tomorrow's sustainable community really looks like and what are going to be the required elements to make that successful. The Choice Award will actually enable us to focus on one aspect, just one aspect, of the kind of work that we think has to be carried out in order to address a wide range of needs, including the need for affordable housing, which is just one of many. And all of the other sort of requisite elements that lead to a neighborhood actually being sustainable, as we say, over the long haul.
And so what exactly will the money be applied to?
Well, the $30 million, and everybody is certainly excited and, you know, sort of tickled pink with the idea that we've won this $30 million support from HUD. But the $30 million will actually be divided into basically three buckets, if you will. $21 million of the 30 goes directly towards the support for a one-for-one replacement of approximately 155 units of existing housing that are in the Larimer and East Liberty communities. And these are all project-based. These are both they're essentially at this point two project-based Section 8 developments owned by the Housing Authority of Pittsburgh and East Liberty Housing, Inc. Together, they're worth 155 units, and $21 million out of the $30 million award will go directly to support their one-for-one replacement. The overall plan calls for the eventual construction of about 350 new units of housing, but that's not just affordable housing or assisted Section 8 housing or whatever. But we're talking about rental and for-sale development, both market rate and assisted or supported. So there's a broader goal here that's associated with Choice that this will help to support. The remaining $9 million of the $30 million award will be broken down into two categories. $4.5 million will go towards supporting what are characterized as community improvements. And you can think of that primarily as infrastructure. We talk about it in terms of things like stormwater mitigation programs and projects that can be carried out in the affected neighborhood, the creation of parks and green spaces, purposeful parks and green spaces in the neighborhood as part of the comprehensive sort of land use envisioning that's been done as well. So that's $4.5 million. And then the remaining $4.5 million are investments in people, because one of the things that Choice has made very clear, and it's one of the articulated values of the work that we've been doing, is that it's not enough to just invest in place. You also have to invest in people. And so there's $4.5 million out of the $30 million that will be used to provide a wide range of supportive services to the people who actually make up those 155 households. So everything from looking at educational achievement and goals for the children who live in the affected neighborhood, to talking about job skills and job readiness training. So there's a health and wellness, you know, what's the overall sort of health of the households, the people who live in those neighborhoods. So there's a wide range of supportive services that will be delivered or supported, at least, with the remaining $4.5 million.
And there's always a concern when something like this comes up from people that the people who need some of these services the most and certainly are in need of housing might be left out or priced out of the situation. It doesn't sound like that's what's happening here.
No, and I think that the other comment that I guess is important to make here is that in addition to the $30 million HUD grant, there's an additional almost $90 million in other identified support coming from a wide range of sources, both public and private, all of which will be leveraged. And while the benefits – while many of the benefits that I talked about are focused on those households, those existing households, there's a benefit that happens that accrues to the entire neighborhood. And in our comprehensive planning work, what we've done is we've paid particular attention to making sure that folks who already live in our neighborhood, many of whom are homeowners, you know, not all of them, but there are, you know, there's both tenants and homeowners, but that all of their interests are sort of reflected in the comprehensive planning that we've done. And that's why I say that the program that Choice will support represents just one aspect of the overall work that we're carrying out and that we're focused on as we kind of think about what it takes to sort of reimagine our neighborhood as a 21st century community. What will it look like? What will be required?
If you'd like to join our conversation with Malik Bankston, Executive Director of the Kingsley Association, we're talking about that $30 million implementation grant that is being awarded to Larmer. And if you are a Larmer resident, if you live in the East End or East Liberty, or maybe just someone in Pittsburgh who has a question about how things will go from here, you can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. The email address, esspgh@wesa.fm, and on Twitter at esspgh, hashtag EPLive. Again, the number 412-246-2002. And there are a lot of interesting aspects to this development, and in particular, the fact that it is going to be green. Talk about what makes it green.
Well, when we started the current work some 7 years ago, and we sort of looked at the challenges that were associated with rebuilding Larmer in particular, although I would hasten to point out that Larmer is not unique. There are lots of neighborhoods like Larmer scattered across the city and all across western Pennsylvania, indeed throughout the West, you know, the Rust Belt, what we call the Rust Belt.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of neighborhoods like this. And from our perspective, you know, we sort of took inspiration and looked at a lot of different examples of some other things that were happening around the country. I know I, for one, have talked at length about the example that I saw out in the middle of Kansas in a place called Greensburg that was struck by a tornado back in 2007. And, you know, the entire town was wiped out. Businesses, schools, hospitals, homes, everything was – and I think 17 people lost their lives. And the people in that town made a decision to not just rebuild their community but to rebuild it as a green, sustainable community. And we thought about that and we said, well, what's to prevent us from looking at a neighborhood like Larmer and making this a similar kind of commitment to rebuild this community as a community for the 21st century that is green and sustainable, you know, a community that's built to last, as we like to say. And so there were a number of principles, I guess, that we started to identify and begin to learn about that became part of that sort of sustainability practice, if you will, that we wanted to see incorporated into any and all of the thinking that people had about how they would like to redevelop our neighborhood. That led to the creation of what we called the Larmer Vision and Land Use Plan. And it was just that. It was a vision. It was a long-term sort of look and perspective on what does tomorrow's sustainable community look like? What will it feature? What will be the elements? How will people actually experience it? What's required, you know, from a condition standpoint in terms of the space, but also what needs to happen for the people. And so that work is the work that we really engaged in for several years to kind of hammer that out. And then we progressed from there to talk about what we call Larmer Vision to Action. And Larmer Vision to Action actually incorporates the specific objectives that are outlined in Choice, in the Choice program that HUD announced and launched several years ago. So these things were all sort of complementary. They fit together. But I think the most important thing from our perspective is that the actual planning process that we have been engaged in and will continue to be engaged in is a community-driven process that is led by the Larmer Consensus Group and other stakeholders. We have other community partners who make up who are part of that partnership. But the Larmer Consensus Group, along with its community partners, is really responsible for acting as stewards of that planning process as we look at the actual execution and the implementation. That'll be true for Choice, just as it is with any other developer or development interest that sort of come along and say, we'd like to be active over here and be a part of what you guys are talking about because it's different. You know, so we talk about, we're really interested in and we've been spending a lot of time and energy educating people about sustainability practices, you know, learning about efficiencies, learning about the importance of green spaces and parks and that sort of thing, learning an awful lot about stormwater mitigation and stormwater management, which is an issue for this entire region, not just for the Larmer community. And we want to see those things. We insist on having those things be reflected in the kind of development programs and plans that people bring forward when they, as they talk about having a presence or being active in the neighborhood.
And before this happened, was there a feeling that you're watching all these things happen in the East End and East Liberty, watching that neighborhood, the business section become revitalized? And you've got Google down there and you've got Whole Foods and you've got, Market Square and all these things happening. Mm-hmm. And yet, what about us, over on this side? Was there a feeling before this happened, that this grant became available, that we need something? You know, we can't keep going like this.
Well, yes. And but again, our planning work was actually built around an acknowledgement and a recognition from the beginning that there were these strong edges that either existed or were emerging. You know, and you can talk about them. You can talk about it in the context of what we know as East Side. You know, we can talk about it in the context of the construction of a Target. A Target store. In fact, our work predated a deal to even bring the Target store into creation. But our work contemplated the success of an effort to secure Target development. And so, we look at this and we say, okay, there are these strong edges and we have these neighborhoods that are at this sort of – this intersection of relative poverty and wealth, if you will, or at least stability, with Shadyside and – a resurgent East Liberty and then Highland Park, as we kind of look at where we are and where we're situated, we have these strong edges. We have things that contribute to the strength of those neighborhoods or of those sections of the neighborhood. And how do we begin to leverage those to take advantage of them to continue that momentum and that interest, if you will, into this neighborhood, but at the same time introduce a whole nother set of considerations that need to be reflected in the broader planning that happens that brings a benefit to the people who are already there.
We have a tweet from David who asks, will this funding grant be used to finance project budget gap between the projected budget gap, I believe is what that should say, between actual construction costs, which is high, and affordability?
In part, yes. There's this whole conversation. It's an ongoing conversation around affordability and what does affordability mean. And that's something that we all would be mindful. I mean, we would all do well to understand what this whole conversation about affordability means in terms of housing and meeting housing costs. As I said, this gap or this funding is directed specifically at providing – not all of it will, in fact, fill the gaps, some of the gaps, because there are other dollars that will be leveraged and secured, either not necessarily new dollars, but rather existing dollars that'll be specifically programmed in a way to support a development program, including the housing piece of this. So whether it's from PHFA, the Pennsylvania Housing Finance Agency, URA dollars, other dollars that are existing dollars that'll be specifically used. And this is part of the gap. So when you figure it out on a unit basis, and that's what people are oftentimes tempted to do, they say, well, you got this $21 million, and so that means you can spend this much per unit to build 155 units. Well, it's a lot more complicated than
right.
that. And
it's not just a matter of dividing the number of units
into
the total figure.
It's not. And the other, I think the other thing to keep in mind is as the broader program continues to evolve and unfold, is that the intention here is to establish Larmer as a mixed income community, which means that you have a full range of housing options and choices that are available, both assisted and market rate, on both the rental side as well as on the for sale side. None of what we're talking about in the way of this choice award actually goes towards supporting anything that's related to a for sale program. So that's a whole nother area of activity that we have to continue to sort of raise resources, identify resources for, because that has to unfold and be realized almost in tandem with a rental program, if you will. Otherwise, what we end up with, and this is what people in the neighborhood have been very, very cognizant of, is that we end up in the end sort of setting a condition where the only thing that really can be developed is more low income rental housing, which is not, part of a successful formula for sustainability.
We've been talking here in Studio A with Malik Bankston. He's executive director of the Kingsley Association, talking about the $30 million implementation grant awarded to the neighborhood of Larmer by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Mr. Bankston, thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul. We appreciate the invitation. We'd like to come back anytime you want to hear some more about what we're doing.
Let's stay in touch.
All right. We will.